This is Audible.
Hot Key Books presents The Stolen Heir, written by Holly Black and read by Saskia Merleveld. One evening, too, by the nursery fire, we snuggled close and sat round so still, when suddenly, as the wind blew higher, something scratched on the windowsill. A pinched brown face peered in. I shivered. No one listened or seemed to see. The arms of it waved and the wings of it quivered. Who? I knew it had come for me. Some are as bad can be. All night long they danced in the rain, round and round in a dripping chain, threw their caps at the window pane, tried to make me scream and shout and fling the bedclothes all about. I meant to stay in bed that night, and if only you had left a light, they would never have got me out. Charlotte Mew, The Changeling. Prologue. A passerby discovered a toddler sitting on the chilly concrete of an alley, playing with the wrapper of a cat food container. By the time she was brought to the hospital, her limbs were blue with cold. She was a wizened little thing, too thin, made of sticks. She knew only one word. Her name. Wren. As she grew, her skin retained a slight bluish cast, resembling skimmed milk. Her foster parents bundled her up in jackets and coats and mittens and gloves, but unlike her sister, she was never cold. Her lip color changed like a mood ring, staying bluish and purple even in summer, turning pink only when close to a fire. And she could play in the snow for hours, constructing elaborate tunnels and mock fighting with icicles, coming inside only when called. Although she appeared bony and anemic, she was strong. By the time she was 8, she could lift bags of groceries that her adoptive mother struggled with. By the time she was 9, she was gone. As a child, Wren read lots of fairy tales. That's why, when the monsters came, she knew it was because she had been wicked. They snuck in through her window, pushing up the jam and slashing the screen so silently that she slept on, curled around her favorite stuffed fox. She woke only when she felt claws touch her ankle. Before she could get out the first scream, fingers covered her mouth. Before she could get out the first kick, her legs were pinned.
"I am going to let you go," said a harsh voice with an unfamiliar accent. "But if you wake anyone in this house, you will most assuredly be sorry for it."
That was like a fairy tale, too, which made Wren wary of breaking the rules. She stayed utterly quiet and still, even when they released her, although her heart beat so hard and fast that it seemed possible it would be loud enough to summon her mother. A selfish part of her wished it would, wished that her mother would come and turn on a light and banish the monsters. That wouldn't be breaking the rules, would it? If it was only the thundering of her heart that did the waking.
"Sit up," commanded one of the monsters.
Obediently, Wren did, but her trembling fingers buried her stuffed fox in the blankets. Looking at the three creatures flanking her bed made her shiver uncontrollably. Two were tall, elegant beings with skin the gray of stone. The first, a woman with a fall of pale hair caught in a crown of jagged obsidian, wearing a gown of some silvery material that wafted around her. She was beautiful, but the cruel set of her mouth warned Wren not to trust her. The man was matched to the woman as though they were pieces on a chessboard, wearing a black crown and clothes of the same silvery material. Beside them was a huge, looming creature, spindly with mushroom-pale skin and a head full of wild black hair. But what was most notable were her long, claw-like fingers.
"You're our daughter," one of the gray-faced monsters said. "You belong to us," rasped the other. "We made you."
She knew about birth parents, which her sister had, nice people who came to visit and looked like her, and who sometimes brought over grandparents or donuts or presents. She had wished for birth parents of her own, but she had never thought that her wish could conjure a nightmare like this.
"Well," said the woman in the crown, "have you nothing to say? Are you too in awe of our majesty?"
The claw-fingered creature gave an impolite little snort.
That must be it, said the man. How grateful you will be to be taken away from all of this.